Greetings to each of you once again. Real joy to be here with you. I'm sure we're enjoying this season in a mutual kind of a way. Very precious time indeed. Will you turn with me tonight to the first chapter of the Epistle to the Philippians? Chapter 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for your all making request with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Seem confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, or he will finish it. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace, or partakers with me of grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels, our tender affections of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge, and in all judgment of discernment. That you may approve, or rather, that you may try the things that differ with a view to approving things that are excellent. That ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I then do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain, more of Christ. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not, I don't know. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is very far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Nero wasn't dictating. Nero wasn't calling the changes, Paul was. Nero couldn't take his head off until God had finished with him. Paul knew it. He knew he was going to abide. And so Nero was not going to take his head off on this occasion. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of Christ, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me. And God richly bless his precious word for every one of our hearts. I'm sure that John 3:16 is quite a favorite verse of every one of us. We who know God in redeeming grace, we love to point to that precious scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The gift of life eternal, of salvation. But do you realize that suffering is a gift as well? For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Suffering is a gift, as found in the scriptures. That's not my subject. And I'm sure that with what our brother has been bringing us, we readily see that it is very, very sound as far as the scripture is concerned. 5 years ago in October, I went to the Veterans Hospital in Washington, D.C. They opened up my left side, went into my heart, and the mitral valve and opened up 3 finger widths. When I left home, I said to the saints, don't pray that I shall recover, but rather cry to God that his will shall be accomplished in my life. If this is the time for me to go home, I do not desire to stay here one day longer. I may do something in that one day that I would be sorry of. Speaking in the language of our minds here on the earth, at least I would see the loss throughout eternity. And so if God desires to take me home in this surgery, I'll be very happy to go home, to meet him face to face. To die is more of Christ. Praise his name. Aren't you glad you're saved? I'm sure you are. And as the tempest swirl round about your soul, you know that you're secured by him. Nothing can possibly touch your life apart from his will as you seek to live here for his glory. When we walk according to our own wills, of course, anything can take place. As we seek to live here for the glory of God, walking consistent with the teachings of the Word of God, we may be sure that heart trouble, cancer, tuberculosis, an enemy's bullet, nothing is going to take you out of this world until you have accomplished the course that God has prescribed for you as a child of God. May we fear not then, but rather rest in the love of the living God. We have together rejoicingly considered that lovely expression of John 4, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And we have gazed on him as the altogether lovely one. He before us in unparalleled glory and beauty. And surely as every certainly as every Christian ought to live for him, we would have the same beauties marking us, the same excellencies, the same virtues that we behold in him. That when we speak, as we read also from John chapter 7 and verse 46, never man spake like this man. The weight of the individual life here below, the life of a child of God, certainly only God can evaluate it, and it can only be seen in the light of eternity. And so how necessary to live a life for the glory of God here below, that it may have weight, yea, it may give weight to every expression uttered by the individual child of God. Tonight, Christ is everything, then, for us as believers. Everything for a life in the superlative degree. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 11, Christ is all and in all, our Christ is everything. And you'll find him everything for your objective consideration and for your subjective response. How precious indeed to have Christ before the soul. Now certainly, it's going to be as the apostle said, for to me, to live is Christ. Quite some time ago, I read an expression that startled me at first. But now, I know it to be most true. The expression was this. You cannot live the Christian life. I cannot live the Christian life. I cannot live the Christian life any more than I can live your life. But Christ can live his own life through me. Beloved ones, that's the Christian life. Christ giving expression to his own personality, if you like, through this vessel of clay. Paul said, for to me to live is Christ. He is the one, or rather, John Baptist is the one who said, he must increase, I must decrease. And it is said of John that in words, he decreased. When they came to him to inquire as to who he was, he says, I am not the Christ. Again he said, I am not. And finally he said, no. He increased in his words. And even as to his stature, or rather he decreased as to his words, excuse me. He likewise decreased as to his stature, for he lost his head. The Apostle Paul, with three expressions, likewise expresses the fact that there was a decrease in his own life so that Christ might be evident to all. For he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 9, I am the least of the apostles. Again, in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8, he says, unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. I am the least. I am less than the least. And finally, he says, in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He must increase, I must decrease. This same truth is again seen in the Song of Solomon in three verses. In chapter 2 and verse 16, my beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the living. All of me and none of Christ. In chapter 6 and verse 3, I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. he feedeth among the village. All of Christ and a little bit of meat. In chapter 7 and verse 10, I am my beloved, and his desire is toward me. All of Christ and none of me. Oh God, grant that it may be so more and more for every one of us, beginning with the man who is before you. A sincere longing that there may be expressions in the life of Christ, that others may be drawn to him. Someone has said that the devil at the Garden of Eden, he had before him this particular thought. It's only the suggestion of another. I think it is worthy of consideration. He wanted, or he desired, that Adam and Eve should never know God as anything except a God of judgment, to know him as a judge. And that was the purpose in the fall. But we praise God that in the heart of God there were thoughts of redemption. How we praise him together tonight for the gift of the Son of his love, the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider him that I may know him. Christ is everything for life in the superlative degree. And first of all, I would have you to consider with me the person of Christ as the power of life. We find essentially in him was life, and the life was the life of men. Life in Christ essentially. That life is communicated to the individual believer. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Life communicated. That life is sustained. It comes from on high. It is sustained from on high. The fountain ever reaches upward from which it came originally. And so the life that I possess as an individual believer comes from God originally and is sustained from the same person. John chapter 6 and verse 57, he that eateth of me shall live by me. Thus the person of Christ as the power of life. My friend in the meeting this afternoon, this isn't my trying, but it is trusting. Someone else has said it isn't a changed life, but an exchanged life. That is the life of which we're speaking. Now the higher life, or sometimes termed the second blessing perhaps, or something to that effect, is oftentimes spoken of in mysterious language. But my friend, it is Christ living his own life through the believer by the power of the Spirit of God. The life is in Christ. As the vine sap flows through the vine, the leaves and the fruit are produced. Christ is the vine. Christ is the branch. The branch is in the vine. The vine is in the branch. I am in Christ and Christ is in me. Oh, let him live his own life through you. Do you need patience in your life? You have a terrible temper. It bursts out with the least provocation. Then allow the fruit of the Spirit, which is self-control. Let it be seen. The fruit of the Spirit. You notice, it's not fruit, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Praise his name. Aren't you glad? The fruit of the Spirit. This is Christ's life flowing through the believer by the power of the Spirit of God. The person of Christ, then, has the power of life. Life essentially in him, that life communicated to the believer, that life sustained likewise from the source of life. And praise God, there's coming a day when it will be perfected. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead. Revelation chapter 22. That life is perfected. Going to be just like him. His name in their foreheads, a perfect expression of himself, seen eternally. Sometimes people quote Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, and they leave it at that. I like to read the three verses together. May I do so at this particular moment? 8, 28, 29, and 30. I think they're triplets. I enjoy them very, very much. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also called. And whom he called, then he also justified. And whom he justified, then he also glorified. Oh, my beloved child of God tonight, the purpose of God in relation to redemption, to have a race of men on the earth of the same moral and spiritual stature as his Son. Is this high thinking? Is it beyond us? No, my friend, it is not. It's the purpose of God in relation to every believer. And this is life in the superlative degree. It's the best life. It's the only real life. Too many of us know too much about existence and a bare existence at that. But a life filled with joy, exuberance of spirit. For once in a while you can say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And you don't have to come from the South, you know, and I think people from the South may be a little emotional. Are we going to become like this age that we live in? An age of ice boxes and deep freezes and so on? Let's get our religion out of the deep freezer and warm it up a bit. Christ is everything. He is all and in all. Christ is everything for life in the superlative degree. Do you have it? If you have Christ, you have this life. In him is life. And I'm in him. Praise his name. I'm so glad of that. You don't have to try. I need to trust. Come on, take him at his word and rest there. That's all. The more that the word of Christ abides in me, the more it is going to be in evidence. For his word is himself. Secondly, I would like for you to consider the presence of Christ as the path of life. Are you lonely along life's highway? Or are you joyful? Can you stand to be alone for 10 minutes? Without having to turn on the television or go to some amusement park? I'm not being critical, please forgive me if I say harsh things. But oh, as the people of God, to sit in his presence, to look upon his face, to muse of himself, the exceeding greatness of himself, this should be the most joyous occupation of any believer in time. Occupied with thee, Lord Jesus, I am blessed. And thus the presence of Christ for the path of life. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore.
exist beyond us? Is it just a dream? A pipe dream? Oh, my friend and amazing, is your life a defeated life? If it is, it's because you are trying to live the Christian life. And you're defeated on every hand. But stop trying. Start trusting. Take God at His word. Rest in them. Let Christ magnify Himself in your body. I'm sure when our brother is finished with his theme, with his side of this glorious theme, you're going to see that the furnace of affliction only takes away the dross that mars the gold. It is only a cleanser to take away the tarnish that accumulates in time. Oh, the master weaver, as he weaves his design, we're looking at the underside and he's looking at the upper side. We see a mass of tangled threads and we wonder at it all. And the beautiful design is on the other side, and when we get to glory. Now, I haven't known too much in life. It's one of the reasons why at conference time I don't like to say too much, because my head is not gray as yet. Years should always speak. There is no substitute for experience, and I'm not apologizing. Not for the word of God, but for the man that is before you, yes. A lack of experience as far as life is concerned, and it is so easy to speak like a fool. I've been at the bedside of people in all sorts of conditions as far as life is concerned. Had a colored woman who called me late at night, laying in the cancer institute. A breast had been removed. Her left arm was bigger than half of my body. She just wanted me to lay my hand on her arm. She had that confidence and pray for her. I don't know what that's like. Many other things in life, I don't know what it's like. I've never gone through it. I have my wife. I have my children. My father and my mother are living. But the word of God remains true and eternal. The presence of Christ. You can live a life that's filled with exuberance. Real joy, overcoming for the glory of God, for the delight of your fellow men. For worship, for fellowship, for companionship, for stewardship, and stewardship is not only of money. Get that out of your mind. If God gets hold of your heart, your pocketbook will follow. No doubt about that. Lydia's heart was open. Her hand was open because her home was open. There'll be no difficulty with the purse whenever God has your heart. And so stewardship has to do not only with your tithe, but with your time and with your talent. And then leadership. I'm sure that as far as leadership amidst the people of God is concerned, when there is the experience in the individual life of the presence of Christ, someone has said, to practice the presence of God continuously. My friend, there'll be nothing to teach you. Nothing will overcome you. Where God is, sin is not. Where sin is, God is not. The holy life is the happy life, and there was none happier than the Son of God on the earth, because there was none holier. The presence of Christ to the path of life, and I must hasten on. The preeminence of Christ, the purpose of life. Some Chinese were marching around, a fellow Chinaman,
who was a communist. They had captured him. They were proving in the fact that they had captured him, and they were going to put him to death, burn him at the stake. They marched around and rejoicing and so on, he stopped them. He said, I am dying for a cause. What are you living for? I wonder how many of us might be rebuked with similar language today. Our missionary brethren are dying for a cause. What are we living for? Pleasure? I say these things kindly, but with a sincere desire that might provoke us to thinking blank. Every life is either a blessing or a blot, for it can't be a blank. Every one of us, we are before some soul. That soul is molding its life by us. We're either a blessing or a blot, because we can't be a blank. Fifthly, I close. The place of Christ as the prize of life. The place of Christ. The Apostle Paul speaks of three men, I believe, in the Epistle to the Corinthians. He speaks of the natural man, the carnal man, and the spiritual man. For the natural man, the message is Christ died. For the carnal man, the message is Christ crucified. For the spiritual man, it is Christ glorified. The place of Christ, the prize of Christ, or the prize of life. For occupation, glory above. There will be assimilation, glory within. Transformation, glory without. Resurrection, glory forever. Christ is everything for life in the superlative degree. The person of Christ, the power of life. The presence of Christ, the path of life. The preeminence of Christ, the purpose of life. The perfection of Christ, the pattern of life, the place of Christ, the prize of life. What is your occupation? Someone has said that you become what you're occupied with, and I believe it. In Leviticus chapter 11, God prescribed Israel's diet of sheep, and in it, I gather this for myself. What you feed upon, that is what you become. May we feast our eyes upon Christ in glory. By the Lord the Spirit, we are transformed into His image from glory to glory. God bless you. And our brother has the song for us.